With Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thanks for joining us here on the Refresh Radio program on WMIE 91.5 FM. Today's Modern Worship. We want to thank you for joining us here, and we're going to dive back into Hebrews chapter 5 here momentarily. But I don't know what your thinking about the winter was here, but I thought it lasted a lot longer than what normally happens. I have a history of telling people that winter in Brevard County normally happens on Tuesday, one day a year. it just, you know, is a beautiful place to live. I absolutely love it. But there was a lot of cold days this year, and the folks at Wyrick Air, they helped keep people warm, and now we're just weeks away from they are going to be helping to keep people cool. And they are friends of the Refresh Radio program. Dennis pastors a church here in Central Florida and brings the principles of God not only to the pulpit but to his business as well. Wyrick Air is based in Rockledge, Florida, where they've been providing sales services and repairs for 50 years or more. And their license numbers are RA00668-54 and EC130024-39. They specialize in dealing air conditioning, heating, and electrical fields. Work in residential settings primarily, but they do some light commercial settings and provide emergency service when necessary. So if you're looking for a company that can keep your system running and doing it without taking advantage of you, and doing work with integrity and godly business, Wyrick Air may be a resource that would be a benefit to you. Their phone number is 321-632-9538, 321-632-9538, and we appreciate them being friends of the Refresh Radio program. So yesterday we were in Hebrews chapter 5, and I'll just go ahead and read through chapter 5 verse number 12 and down through chapter 6 verse number 3 again, because it'll set the stage for where we're going today. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward Christ, of the doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. So yesterday I had talked a little bit about that the people that the writer of Hebrews had addressed this letter, he had diagnosed them with a need to be taught again the first principles of the oracles of God. And the a lot of times the world's attitude towards the church is you keep the church inside the four walls of the church, but don't bring, you know, that stuff outside. Well, I want you to realize that God's spiritual principles are not meant to be kept under lock and key. They have real life application. And so if you are going to church and you're hearing sermons, but it never makes a difference in the way that you think, the way that you prioritize your time, the way it impacts your finances, the way it impacts your relationships, the way it causes you to work, you are missing the application process. You know, there were a lot of things they taught in school that most people are never going to learn. They might learn it, but they're never going to use it in real life. I have conversations with people from time to time, and it said, you know, there was a lot that they didn't teach me in college. It wasn't that the things that they taught me didn't have application, but there were a lot of things I needed to learn that I learned, but I learned them at the School of Hard Knocks. And the tuition there is much more expensive than it is if you don't have to learn it the hard way. So the writer of Hebrews is talking to people who are not babies chronologically. They are babes developmentally. They just never got to the place that they put the things of God into use in their life. And if you never apply it, then you continue to be in a less than optimal state of development. So he says, everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the works, in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Okay, so if you've raised children, you know that when they reach the toddler stage, that's a more, it has different challenges than when they are an infant. They think that they can do more than they can do. They don't know the things that they don't know. They are spreading their wings, and sometimes they're going to learn things through failure. Sometimes they're going to learn things through observation and things like that. And so if a person thinks, you know, they look around and they see, well, mom and dad are doing this, I must be able to do that as well. A lot of times they don't have the motor skills to be able to pull that off. And then you get into the stage with teenagers, and teenagers are better developed physically, but they may not be better developed intellectually yet to be able to make the decisions. There's a lot of confusion that is being thrown at teenagers and young adults right now. And, you know, one of the best things that could happen to them was to know the principles of God's kingdom. You know, I remember seeing pictures back in the day of people who would go to the gym and work out and, you know, that have muscles in this one particular part of their body, but they never focused on developing their leg muscles. And so the meme was, don't let your friend skip leg day. And because part of their body was hyper developed and the other part of their body was underdeveloped. So when we get into the teenager or adolescent stage, we see people who have a physical development that is getting closer to being mature, but if they've not developed intellectually and if they haven't developed spiritually, they may not realize what a dangerous place they're in. So when God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, inspiration of the Holy Spirit, encourages the writer of Hebrews to write this, what he is saying is, if you don't understand the first principles, the elementary principles, and the advanced principles of the kingdom of God and apply them intellectually, relationally, and financially, and time management, and all, if you don't apply these to the other areas of your life, you're going to be out of balance. And you're, you know, sometimes I do like a glass of milk. I've told you before, my wife and I went and heard this very famous pastor preach one time. He came to hold a multi-church event in the Tulsa area. And so we went and heard him, and he got up there and he preached a 3-point salvation message in the town where you had all of these mega churches. And I remember looking at my wife and saying, you know, I believe sometimes we may overcomplicate the things of the kingdom, because what was happening was that person was seeing people come to faith in multitudes, and we were seeing, you know, Christians moving from church to church to church to church to church, but we weren't seeing necessarily the salvations in a city the same way that that person was seeing in their one church. So there's always a place for the basic principles, the elementary principles of God's word. It's not that you are ever going to not be reminded of them, but you can't get stuck there. And so if you see someone that gets stuck, then they're not going to develop the way that God wants them. They're not going to develop fully. So the person that only requires milk is described here in verse number 13 as being unskilled in the word of righteousness. And when I looked up the meaning of that, it means they're unacquainted with it. It means that they might see it, but they don't really know how it works. And they're not so familiar with it that they can see how important it is in our life. And so we're going to move forward a little bit. We're going to come back to this principle in our study here in the next few days. But I want to stick with the elementary principles first, because there's a management principle in business, and it says focus on your strengths and surround yourself with people who can address your weaknesses. Well, that's good business policy, but when you're talking about your spiritual development, no one else can develop for me. They can have different giftings than I've got, but when we're talking about the principles of the kingdom of God, it's up to me to learn them. And so I need to say, I want to learn about this. So the things that I preach and the things that I teach at Merit Assembly of God are to get spiritual development to be a high priority. For this year, we are focusing on treasuring God's presence and paying attention to the things that God pays attention to, because those are very, very important. So we want to acquaint ourselves with what God wants us to know so that we can put it into practice in our lives, and I want that for you as well. So let's go on. It says solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That is, that they've reached a level of maturity. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So we're going to come back to those. We're going to jump down to verse number 1 of chapter 6 at this point in time. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works. So, the first thing that I would encourage you about, if you're looking to start from ground zero, is the first thing that I would tell you is this: the very first principle of God's kingdom, the most basic level, is that you need to know who Jesus is, that Jesus is the Son of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And John 3 goes on and says, if you do not believe in Jesus, your current reality is you stand condemned already. Not having Jesus as your Lord and Savior, who is not a way to the Father, but the way to the Father, and no one comes to the Father but by him. You have to understand that Jesus is the Son of God who came and lived a sinless life, who did miraculous things. He was born miraculously. He lived supernaturally, and he was raised from the dead. That he ascended from the grave after he'd been crucified on the cross, not for his sins, but for our sins. And now he's ascended to the Father, where he is ever living, making intercession for us. But one day he is coming again. He is the anointed one of God. He is the Messiah. He is the only hope for mankind. We have to understand that. It is the thing that makes Christianity so offensive to many people in the world. Because Jesus claims to be the exclusive hope for mankind. Without him, it is impossible for us to do any. Without him, we can do nothing. So, you need to know who Jesus is. Okay? So, I was having a conversation with someone some time ago, and they made a statement, and they said, this is where I'm studying. This is really all we need. Well, let me tell you, there are 66 books in the Bible, and you and I, we cannot just pick out one book and say, this is the only thing that is needed right here, this one book. I don't care, Old Testament, New Testament. What is really necessary is you need the whole thing. And so that book, I happen to really like that book that person was talking about. It's one of my favorite books in the Bible. But it wasn't the finish line. It's the launching pad. And, you know, Jesus is the first, the last, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. And knowing who he is, knowing him as your Lord and Savior, that is the most important thing. Loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, that is the greatest commandment. And it's also the launching pad. It's the beginning point. And so that's the most basic principle in the kingdom of God, is we have access to the Father through Jesus. We need to have a living, vibrant, thriving relationship with Jesus. That is not the last truth you need to know. It is the first truth you need to know. That all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is grace, is being saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. God so loved the world for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I'll get my brain to work here adequately at some point in time. So the first principle that you need to know is Jesus, who he is. He is your He is your only hope of forgiveness of your sins. There's no other name under heaven whereby men must be saved. So the next principle, it says, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works. And so when you have Jesus as the Lord of your life, the way that God begins to construct you and edify you spiritually is when the foundation of repentance is adequately laid in your life. So I tell people, Jesus has already made forgiveness available. Repentance is what makes it applicable to us. It becomes part of who we are. And a lot of people say, well, I don't have to repent, or they are looking for their pet sin to be excluded from the gift of repentance. I will tell you that apart from Jesus, I could be a really proficient sinner. I would probably be very good at it. And along with being very good at sin, I would be very miserable, because sin is it's a death style, not a lifestyle. And so I tell people, I refuse to discriminate against people spiritually. By that, I mean that I've got to present to them the necessity that we have to repent of our sins and ask Jesus to forgive us. And I'm not going to exclude anybody from that and saying, well, that's really not important. I had a conversation with a person one time, and I was apologizing, and he said, oh, that was no big deal. No need to apologize. And I said, it was a big deal to God, because God just convicted me right over there in that seat. And if it's a big deal to him, it needs to be a big deal to me. So repentance is not a forbidden word. I describe repentance as the primary blessing that God shows in a person's life. It is a greater blessing than finances, a greater blessing than physical health or soundness of mind. The gift of repentance has eternal ramifications. And so repentance is not just an apology. Repentance is a change of heart. It's a change of mind. It's a change of the way that you think. By change of heart, it means that God comes and washes us clean, and he gives us a new heart, a heart that beats for him instead of is hardened against him. By change of mind, it causes us to think not in a carnal way, but in a spiritual way. And it is a change of direction. So I tell people, if you have repented, you should be running harder towards God than you were running away from him, which is what was happening when we were fighting against him and treating him as an enemy. We were running away from God. And so we not only need to change the direction, but I want to encourage you, hit the spiritual thruster, put your spiritual pedal to the metal, and go after God with all you've got. I've known a lot of people that when they hit rock bottom, they went hard after God, and then when their life got less threatened, they took their foot off the accelerator, and before you know it, they were returning back to the same behavior that they had, and their world fell apart again. Sin has this spiritual gravitational pull that it wants to implement in our life, and it wants to continue to try and draw us back. And so we need to continue to press forward with all that we've got. But it's not only a change of heart, it's not only a change of mind, it's not only a change of direction, but it's a change of inclination, how we're inclined. So we now lean into God instead of lean away from Him. And that takes the master gardener, if you will, that God is, where He comes and he prunes the areas of our life that are sucking the life out of us. They're preventing the resources of God from getting to the places that God wants it to be. It's God works in us. He prunes us. He positions us in such a way that we are going to grow up and to be pillars of the kingdom of God, instead of just growing in this distorted and contorted shape. I've seen a couple of trees, and it's like, I don't know how a tree ever grew as thick in diameter as those trees have grown, and yet they grew in such a twisted, distorted position. There's some of the, I've seen some really ugly trees, and I have seen some very majestic trees that grew the way that you would want a tree to grow. So repentance is not a bad work. And it is not only a repentance spiritually of the hurt that we've caused against God, but it's a repentance from dead works, where we did things that were lifeless. Jesus comes as the life. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He's the resurrection and the life. He causes things that were dead to come alive again. And He's got works of faith and works of life that He wants us to do. We have to repent of the things that we were doing that weren't producing life in us. They were killing us. And I will tell you, from a physical situation, I discovered in the last 6 months something that I was eating, which you can find on any grocery store. You don't have to show an ID or anything like that. It's a perfectly good food source. But what I found out was that thing was having a negative impact on me physiologically. So you know what I did? I got it out of my life. I repented of it. I said, I don't need that. I want to live. I don't want that killing me. If God shows you something that He wants out of your life, I encourage you, repent from it. You'll be better off for it. See you next time here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."
Waylon Duff with Keller Williams Space Coast Realty is a friendly, knowledgeable, active, and accessible real estate agent here in Brevard County. Keller Williams is known for real estate services all across the world, and Waylon specializes in helping buyers purchase the right place to call home, as well as helping sellers market and negotiate the sale of their single-family home, condo, vacant land, or business. Waylon Duff can be reached at 321-536-5973 or visit waylonduff.kw.com. Waylon Duff with Keller Williams Space Coast Realty is your local realtor who provides all you need and the time you deserve to get your real estate purchased or sold.